Hello, my friends, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel and become disciple-making disciples. And you can find out more information on that at our website at discipleofcity.ca. We also have a free video series available to you that you can use to start your own group and go through all the chapters. This is also available to you on our website. You can also check out the Toddcast website at thetoddcast.ca, where there's a direct link to the latest episode, and you can see our staff on there as well. Today, we are at Disciple of City's first conference entitled Behold, and our whole Toddcast staff is there, executive producer Caden Carlton and media relations Sheila Juti. And today we had the opportunity to interview one of our musical guests from Saskatchewan. He's part of Prairie Worship Collective. He's a super good dude. His name's Adam Tisdale, and here we are with his story. Adam, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Todd.
It's so good to have you here.
I can't believe I'm physically in the room with you. It's crazy.
You know what? It's from when I first met you out in Saskatchewan, just drawn to your music and really wanted to have you on the show. And as you know, we do a lot of them, you know, remotely and stuff, yeah. But it's so much better in person.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And so thankful that you...
I can feel your energy.
Get him, Lord. Get him.
Love it.
We're so thankful that you came here to perform. And man, last night was incredible.
Yeah, I got to say, it's really easy to lead when the room is that ready and hungry and just primed. Yeah. You just get to go. And it was so fun.
Yeah. And it was so good to just allow it to happen. Allow the Lord to do what he wanted to do in the room. And of course, nobody listening, watching knows what we're talking about. But anyways, it was the first night of our Behold conference last night. Adam led the worship session, and gosh, the Holy Spirit just fell in the room and people got touched. And it was just really great. Ministered to a lot of people. It was really great.
It was really prophetically driven for the nation too. Hey, like just declarative for freedom over the nation. Loved it.
Yeah.
Every part of it.
Yeah. Adam also is responsible for connecting me with
Derek Moncrief.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
we're now in talks with, so we're hoping to get him on soon.
Yeah. Good. He's a wonderful man. Him and his wife are like really stewarding something in the city. They run a house church actually too, in the city.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
But bro, yourself, man,
let's get into it.
Last time we were hanging out, we were at a conference, so we didn't really get to sit. And I just really love to hear people's stories. So tell us about growing up for you and, you know, how Jesus became real to you or what that piece was like.
So I was born at a really young age. I grew up in a solid Christian home. Both my parents come from, actually, interestingly enough, until I married my wife, everyone in the family was Norwegian, like all the way back. We even have like a book, like 17 generations old. It's like all Norwegian. Side note, it's just kind of cool. But grew up in a Christian home. My parents are wonderful people. I do ministry currently with them both. Brother and sister that I love dearly. Grew up in a town called Moose Jaw, close to Regina. My story really gets interesting when I was about 9. My dad got flesh eating disease when I was 9 years old. And he went through the whole process, had like a dozen surgeries, and he was literally on death's door. And they went in for one more surgery, and the Lord completely healed him of it.
Wow.
There was nothing. There was like the tip of a fingernail left when they opened him up. And from that moment, his life pivoted from being an electrician to going to Bible school, becoming a Bible school professor. So the reason I mention that is because it's an incredible story. But we moved from Moose Jaw to Eston. It's the Bible school that we're connected with that we would have met through in Regina. And then I met my wife there. But to go back to your original question, when I really met the Lord myself personally was at a camp. So I was 8. So this was a year or two before my dad got sick. I had already accepted the Lord, but then I was baptized in the Spirit at camp. And the thing I've like viscerally remember is laying on the floor in the chapel and having the peace of the Lord fill me. And I actually laid there for hours. And I remember it because I was with my best friend, who I'm still friends with.
And sorry, man, how old were you?
I was 8 at that time. So just had a, like, someone just prayed for us to get filled, and I was filled with the Spirit. It was really between me and the Lord and my friend, which was cool to experience that with him.
Dude, at that age, would you have any concept of, like, that terminology and stuff? You know what I mean?
No, I just knew I was feeling something very different, and I didn't have any, I mean, the terms we would use are like anxious thoughts or anything. Like, I just had this peace, and I was just so caught up in him. Wow. In that moment. And yeah, that's really the moment that I go back to that I remember so clearly. Yeah. Wow. I remember the carpet. I remember. Yeah. It was actually crazy too, because the counts, like at camp, we're young. You usually go back to your cabin. They let us stay in there till like 2 a.m. It was kind of nuts that they did that, but I totally remember the peace just for hours and hours and hours. We just laid there. Didn't say a thing, just laid there. It's awesome. Wow. Yeah.
So how did that stay with you going through your teenage life?
Like, yeah. So yeah, my story's not boring and I own it fully, but I actually never had like a rebellious phase of life. So my parents, my dad specifically, well, both my parents, but me and my dad are so close. And anytime I may like have had a temptation, he just was super honest with me about how that's not going to benefit my life. And I was able to hear that from him. So yeah. Yeah, through my dad's healing story, through the move, he taught at Bible school. I was around Bible school kids from when I was in grade 8. So how old are you in grade 8? I don't know.
12.
Yeah, something like that. So honestly, from 12, I was around like the cool kids that are way older than me, and they're all Bible school students. So I've been like kind of breezy, just like brought up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't boring, and that's a cool testimony and a testimony in itself, right? And I'm not digging for...
Yes, no, I hear like, you. Rebellion, I hear you.
Right? Because, you know, on one side of the coin, why would you want that? And, you know, there's still obviously a medical thing, but there was things that would still challenge you in your beliefs.
Yep.
And you know what? I think people with a testimony like you, the devil will use sort of different ways to tell you, hey, you don't have a story, and...
Yeah.
You know, use different ways to for you not to share the gospel and the truth of Jesus, right? So,
well, and I totally agree, because this is kingdom family. Like, I didn't have to have that radical turning from to have the full knowledge and understanding that the Lord loves me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel very blessed by that, and I'm not scared to say that I'm, like, super blessed by that journey. Amen. And the faithfulness of my parents and my grandparents and the generations before them, like, literally living in that blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about music? When did you start?
Yeah. Oh, this is a good story. My very first time, like, I can get further into the journey of, like, I was in a few bands and stuff, but the very first time I actually, like, publicly sang was... I was like 6 or 7, and both my parents are worship leaders. So my mom was worship leading, and my dad brought us to church, and the service was literally starting. And my mom looks at me and tells me to come up and sing right now, because the person who was singing with her was sick and didn't show up. So my very first time actually doing this in front of anyone ever
was forced.
It was forced. And I was like 7 and I went for it, and it was great. But, that was my first time. Yeah.
So musical household, you're
big time.
Yeah.
Both my parents actually did like traveling touring stuff too as well. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of a conference back a ways back called Break Forth Ministries out of Edmonton, but they used to run like a big conference. My parents used to travel with the leader of that ministry and do that for a few years. So yeah, my mom specifically, like family trio type thing. Grandpa was a pastor, mom and my aunts all sang, my uncle. So yeah, my mom like cooks and sings. And when you walk in the room, she just like points at you and she's like, harmony, third, fifth. And then she's like, it's just naturally built in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sheila's heard of that conference.
Although okay.
She is from Alberta, so she should know.
Okay. Yeah. So Arlen Salty, my mom was in his first band. And then that ministry was birthed in my grandpa's church, in the basement of my grandpa's church. So yeah, it's cool history.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, and then when did you sort of, so obviously you started, did you start doing music with a family, and when did you branch out sort of on your own type, well, not on your own, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did some music in Bible college. I actually struggled quite a bit in my later teen years with just self-doubt and pride like mixed together, where I had such a intense requirement for excellence of myself while also like kind of thinking I was awesome at the same time, which was so crippling because I didn't end up doing any, like, it's crazy where I'm at now and in actual Bible college when I had all the opportunity in the world to do this. I didn't, like, I sang back up a little bit on one chapel team. I didn't go on any of the trips because I was just being held back by that pride.
So you were invited on the trips?
And
you
just
turned it down?
Well, and everyone's like, your parent, like, what's going on, man? Like, I'd be playing my guitar in my room and like singing, but
yeah,
there was some real walls to get through there for sure.
So how did you push through that?
It actually took, so I got married and then I went, we moved to Winnipeg where my wife is from, and it took a couple of friends asking me if I would join their band, and then we would just jam together. And then I started opening up to them and the trust started building there. And then all of a sudden we were touring and we were playing and I was getting much more comfortable. So,
and was that worship stuff you were doing? Or
it was both. Oh, like we were playing. So it was like straight up metal. Pretty much.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
So you've been eyeing up that guitar.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great. So we played and we did festivals, like lots of hardcore stuff. We were at a lot of the festivals that we played at or shows we played at, we'd be like the only band that wasn't screaming, like screamo. And I would be singing. So that's kind of how we... Like, that's the style that I love to. I still listen to, like, any type of metal, which I love to infuse into worship, actually. And me and my friend, who's the drummer, when I play bass, we do, like, a ton of polyrhythm stuff behind nice. The band when we're playing. And everyone's like, you know, they're dancing to, I don't know, any song, like, I Thank God or something. And then we just throw in these polyrhythms and everyone's, I can't clap anymore. It's like, it doesn't work. But, yeah, so that's playing with my friends really, really is what got me out of my shell in that.
And so were you doing like Christian type metal or like sort of positive?
Totally. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. We really had the intention of doing it as ministry, like going into places that playing at shows where it was super dark and bringing Jesus to those places. And, that we didn't end up like really going anywhere with it, but it was really fun. And I still play with a couple of those guys to this day. So
yeah.
The friend I mentioned actually that I had the encounter with, he was the drummer that I play with, and we're still best buds. So
that you currently play with now?
No, he lives in Winnipeg and I live in Regina, but we still play together whenever we can.
Okay.
And yeah. We're still very close. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long did that last for?
Like the band?
Yeah. Before you got into what you're doing now.
Yeah. So I was probably in that band for 5 or 6 years, I would say, through my 20s. And then...
And were you working too?
Yeah. So I worked with most of the whole time I was in Winnipeg, I worked with a day program with the Salvation Army with adults with disabilities, which I absolutely loved. I probably never would have left that job, but the Lord had a different plan for us, and we're at where we're at now, which I very much love. But yeah, those were good. Like, the work part of that was really good while we were in Winnipeg. Yeah. And then the band stuff too, obviously. Because we also ran a youth group too. So like all the people in the band were doing this youth group stuff together too. So they all kind of melded. And that same drummer, my best friend, worked at the same day program as me as well. So
yeah,
we were really pretty communal. Yeah.
What brought you back to Winnipeg?
Yeah, good question. Winnipeg.
What brought you
to Regina?
Regina, yeah.
Yeah, good question. So I was wrestling with like the provision stuff and actually like having the Lord like trust him that he's going to provide. So this day program I was working at wasn't paying me enough money to really make ends meet. So I called up my dad. I was just like, hey, Dad, what do you think I'd be good at? Because like music's probably not something I'm going to be able to make a living with at that time. And he's like, well, you love caring for and working with people. You should consider nursing. So I started looking up nursing programs, and that's what actually brought us back to Saskatchewan, a nursing program that would accept me very quickly because a lot of them had wait lists, was available for us. So we just picked up and moved and went for it. So I went to nursing school. So that's why we went back to Saskatchewan.
Yeah. End up in the hospital or?
Yeah. I ended up working in a long-term care facility in the small town that we were living in. So we currently live in Regina, but, we were in a small town about an hour north of Regina called Strasburg. And, I worked at the long-term care facility there and home care in the community, which I did during COVID, which was actually really awesome because while everyone else's lives kind of shut down, mine didn't at all. I was still going to people's houses and my life literally didn't change during COVID, which was quite interesting. Yeah. Different perspective.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So Prairie Worship Collective.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that start?
Oh, you're getting all the like the heavy hitters of my life here, man. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
So that story is another big one. I was nursing and really starting to do quite a bit of like harp and bowl prayer room type stuff, working with ministry. My dad was the pastor of the church and started a prayer and worship ministry called Deeper Life Ministries, which Prairie Worship Collective is in under the umbrella of. So Deeper Life is like the charity and Prairie Worship Collective is an arm of that ministry. So just kind of like Disciple City Music under Disciple City, same kind of idea. So I was in my chair and I picked up the book The Reset by Jeremy Riddle. And I read that book and it's intense, but the best way I could describe it is I literally went into like a trance state with the Lord. And I did not move from that chair for 2 days. I'm not kidding. 2 full days. Didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't leave the chair. And my wife, she came in and she knew just the presence in the room that the Lord was with me. Cause you know, like she's trying to talk to me. I'm not responding. Like, are you okay? Are you dead? Like what's going on here? Right. And all I can tell you is the entirety of that 2 days, I felt the hand of God inside of my head, moving things around. So the passage that describes the transforming of the mind is actually literal for me, which is pretty nuts, right? So I wake up from that. I thought it was like an hour or two. That's kind of how that went for me. I didn't hear the voice of God. I wasn't talking to him, but I felt his hand inside of my brain moving it around physically, like touching me. And woke up with this vision of raising up worship in the prairies. So I run to my bedroom, looking for my wife, run to the bedroom, wake her up. It was like 2 a.m. And then I just like, blah, like just shared all this vision I had, right, with her. And so over the next year from then, we slowly transitioned me. I would just pick up less shifts at the nursing home, or I was doing home care specifically at that time, I think, and started fundraising and traveling and raising up worship and basically going anywhere anybody would have me come in and specifically sing or lead worship, until we got to, I think it was a year later, where I fully let go of nursing and went full time into this. And it was similar time frame that our good friend Terrell did come together in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
And she asked me and my friend David Hutchinson, who's the worship pastor at Elam Church in Saskatoon.
Great guy.
Fantastic guy. To co-host the worship artist. Charity Gale was the worship artist for that one.
Yeah.
And then we did like the workshop where you just kind of invite everyone. They do a Q&A type of thing. And I'm sitting... me and David had met the day before, and we were just praying, like, Lord, there's something more to this, because he has the same kind of passion burning in him. And then, yeah, that next day, we literally launched Prairie Worship Collective at that event. We asked Charity, we're like, hey, we have this vision. They're like, are you okay if we just share this right now?
Wow.
And there's about 200 people from the prairies in the room, a lot of them worship leaders, and we just shared the vision of Prairie Worship Collective to support, strengthen, and steward worship in the prairies. And it's just been a nutso ride from that day. So,
oh man, I had no idea we were there, Sheila. We were at that event.
And that was the official launch of PWC.
Come on.
Yeah.
And yeah. Who did you get like from that event? Obviously a collective of people, but
yeah,
who were the initial ones that just jumped on that to be part of it?
Yeah. So a lot of them were... man, I'd have to remember who all was at that, because it's pretty blurry already, you know. Like there was lots of friends, there was lots of people that David knew that I didn't know. The initial ones were me, David, and then my friend Josh Parkman, who runs our studio, and then another friend, her name's Jody, she's the worship director at the Bible College. And now it's like ballooned out to just the music team alone is probably pushing 40, 50 people.
Wow.
Who like will come to an event like this weekend, this conference here, if we were bringing the whole band, and I'd just kind of shoot a text out, who can come, who can make this work this weekend. And we just pull people and we go and we do the thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's quite a bit more to that story. We've launched a worship school in that time with Esten College. And we're doing quite a bit more than just traveling. We're doing training and equipping at a lot of the churches that we're serving. We're teaching songwriting specifically. And then we also have the studio. So we're releasing music and recording other people's music. So, yeah. So like Alicia from here, yeah, she flew to Regina to record her album with Josh in our studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we've had her on the show as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. The world in that area, like, it's getting pretty small and we're getting to know each other, which is really lovely. But yeah, that's the behind the scenes of PWC, man.
So who writes
the music?
Yeah.
The actual songwriting team is probably like 20 people big now.
Yeah.
So,
and like collaboratively, or sometimes,
yes,
sometimes you have an idea and you write a song. And
yeah. That. So we generally have songwriting retreats. So we're actually doing one in January, and there'll probably be 12 to 15 of us there. And the way that we structure those is everyone comes with their ideas, and then we share the ideas, pray, pick the ones that the Spirit like hovers over.
Yeah.
And then we break into groups of, we don't like to write with more than four people in a group at a time. Then we just kind of hash it out, keep going at it. And a lot of them come from prayer room moments, like little phrases or spontaneous choruses, but then we build the rest of the song out from there.
It's just a fascinating process to me because I love music. I play guitar, but
yeah,
there's nothing original comes out of me, not musically.
Okay.
I don't write music. I like to play other people's stuff for my own
sure
piece, right? I just like to play along with stuff, right? Like, I guess like a rhythm player, you know?
Yep.
But I'm just the concept of how people are so creative, you know, and then especially if you're, well, not especially, like, doesn't matter the genre, but you're writing worship stuff that you're so dialed into the Lord and he's speaking through you. It's just a fascinating procedure.
Yeah. Process. Well, and I would say it like genuinely takes time to learn how to do it. So my wife and I write our own music, just the two of us, that we kind of get those creative juices flowing and we push ourselves like as far as we can musically. And that's how it was like with the band that I was with in Winnipeg. It would just be, you know, the five of us that were in the band writing all the songs together. And then now when we're writing corporately, I feel like it's quite different because the specific intention isn't to just push yourself musically. It's to unite the room that's going to sing the song.
Yeah.
So you don't want to, I mean, this probably makes sense when you hear it, but when you're actually doing it yourself, it's kind of hard to, if I sing this to the very best of my ability, can anybody else sing it? Not because I'm better, but like if you're just like intentionally doing runs and all of those types of things constantly throughout the song,
yeah,
can anybody else sing with you? So writing corporately is sacrificial in some ways that way too. And it's a back and forth because as soon as you step into the room, the way we do it, is as soon as the song is shared and it's being worked on, everyone owns equal parts of the song. So if I came with a chorus, we say at the beginning, we actually sign like contracts with this as well. You're giving that song to the group and we all equally own it.
Yeah.
So that's how we build those songs out. Yeah. So Dry Bones, so we sang our original song Dry Bones yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's probably, by the end, like 8 names that own that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't hear it, but we're playing a little bit of that right now.
Okay, cool. Sweet. Love it.
Yeah. Typically, I'm behind the helm, and in a situation like this, I would ask about a specific song and play it. But
okay.
Here at the conference, and...
Yeah, right, right.
Our executive producer here at the helm.
Well done.
Right? And it's been such a packed time.
Yeah, it has been.
But we'll add that in. And friends, if you can, I don't know if you can, there's sound check going on right now. I don't know if the mics are picking that up, but, another band coming on tonight. And you,
that's a whole nother story that for another day. That's pretty cool. Meeting the MBL guys is crazy.
Yeah. Well, they're not here for very long.
No.
So I schmoozed them at lunch and talked to the leader there and I'm trying to see if I can get them up here for 30
minutes.
Yeah. Put
that'd
in
be
a good word for
okay,
me. Would you?
Sure.
I would like to have them.
They're coming to Regina in the summer.
Are they?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come to Regina in the summer.
Yeah, please do.
Cart all this stuff. And these two, bring them too. Well, I'll go.
You can interview Josh and get a real, like, studio engineer's opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about, I don't know that you used this word, stewarding the room, but last night.
Mm-hmm.
How did you phrase that now? It wasn't stewarding the room, but when you're playing, like, and it definitely happened in the room.
Yes, right? For sure.
Did that come naturally? Did God give you that? And did that come naturally to you to sort of read the room and how they're responding?
Right.
Because, like, I came to faith later in life, so I've been to heaps of shows.
Yes.
But their performances, their look at me.
Yep.
I wrote this stuff, you know, which is what it is.
Yep.
And talented and gifted and all of that. But it's so different when it's worship, right? Because it's like, yeah, you created this, but this isn't about, hey, look at Adam. It's like, hey, let's sing this song for the Lord. But something happened in the room last night. So is that something that came naturally by God to you, or is that something sort of developed over time, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think, well, the first thing I'd say is at those shows that you know, grew up going to, you can see what a gift can do. Because you can be extremely gifted and still move an audience and move a room. But there's a different level when you step into anointing because it's partnered with the Lord. so there's like, it's, you've laid yourself down, right? Your heart is surrendered to the Lord, and then he can operate in the giftings and anoint them to serve his people. So I think the best way to describe that was it was a mixture of surrender and time. Like what happened yesterday, I probably wouldn't have been able, like been walking in that 10 years ago, you know? So another thing that the Lord's given me, which is very interesting, is I actually, when I close, I generally close my eyes when I'm leading, and I'm actually seeing like colors and stuff in the room. And then when I'm singing a prophetic word and there's something on the, our phrasing, when there's something on it, the colors spin around, and then I know what to go after, which is really cool. And that's only been a couple of years of like, whoa, this is very interesting.
Bro, what colors?
I couldn't describe them to you.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking you this is because to make this super quick is about your story, not mine. But I walked into a place a long time ago, early on in my journey, and a guy asked me if I'd ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, I'm not sure, which pretty much means no. Yeah. So what's interesting is that he prayed over me, and I closed my eyes to receive prayer. And you know, when you close your eyes, it's black, right? Well, dude, I saw like washes of like red and orange and green and violet and stuff like that. And in times of prayer, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And, that's very interesting.
So they're colors that I recognize, but they're changing all the time.
Yeah.
And they're they're not natural, but I can kind of recognize them. Yeah. They're kind of like a rainbow all at the same time. And yeah, maybe there's more to that though for me. Like maybe the Lord wants to distinguish the colors and I can recognize what he's doing. All that's going to grow with time. But yeah. And the other thing too, when
now we're a couple of weird guys, see colors.
I literally texted my wife because we're at this conference. She's like, how's it going? I'm like, well, I'm definitely coming back a crazy person. So it's going to be
good way.
In a good way. But going back to when you said, like describing stewarding the room, I just want to make one thing very clear. The Lord is stewarding the room. And when you surrender your heart to him, I'm not looking at the crowd for direction. I'm only looking at how they're responding to what the Lord is directing.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
So, and I'll word that like, okay, maybe these folks aren't kind of what I'm hearing, or maybe I'm hearing a little bit off, or like I'll talk to another leader in the room. And if you see me lead worship, I go around the band and like ask them, hey, what are you sensing? What are you feeling? We talk to each other, or I'll grab the pastor, whoever's leading, like I'll go off the stage or ask them to come up, and we're discerning that as we go. Cause it is supposed to serve the room. Yeah. And, but the first, like when we say it's an audience of one, that's legitimate. So we are here to minister to the Lord, and then he pours out all of his blessings on the children.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just want to be a conduit of that. Which is really cool when you start seeing the colors, because then it's like, ooh, something's going on.
Yeah.
It's great.
Something was definitely going on last night.
Yeah, wasn't it? And this morning, too, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Praise God.
Lovely.
Praise God. The Lord wants to bless his kids, right?
Yes, and very much so. Loves
worship, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Adam, where can people find your music?
Yeah, any platform, Prairie Worship Collective. That simple.
Yeah.
We're on every platform that I know exists. So
that's the way to do it.
Yep.
That's the way to do it. Friends, Prairie Worship Collective. We'll have that in the description website.
Sure. Yeah. We have a website and an Instagram, Facebook, and then on all the music streaming services.
Yeah. Yep. So it'll be all over there. We put all that in the description.
Okay.
Yeah. So dude, one more question for you and then we'll go get some dinner.
Yeah. Sounds good.
You talked about how, you know, you started to get into music and you're young and, you know, people were inviting you to come and perform and you had that gift from the Lord. but there was something inside of you that was not allowing you to do that, right?
Yeah. Like a pride.
Like a pride and stuff that you got over.
Mm-hmm.
If you met somebody at this conference who you saw what happened to you, what you were dealing with, and you saw that in them, what would you say to them to help them push through?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Todd. I think that's a very important question for everyone to wrestle with who does this, because it's so easily performative. It's so easily performative. So I would say if and whenever possible, be alone with Jesus and play with him and to him. Play to him. That's what I would say, is grab your instrument and just fumble along. Learn how to, but intentionally point your thoughts to, I just love you, Jesus. Would you fill this moment? Would you meet with me? Read scripture, sing it. Just sing what you read. Play. If you don't sing and you just play to the Lord alone in your room. Yeah. And it'll just fall off. It'll just start falling off of you. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, bro.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you, just answering that call and just like, I don't know what the word is, pushing into your gift or falling into your gift or whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's both. Yeah.
Yeah. Of just doing that. And, yeah, you're right. You're letting the Lord direct in the music. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Bless you, man. Bless you. Thank you so much.
Friends, check that out, Prairie Worship Collective. And when you're driving, when you're by yourself, you can just listen to that music and, you know, just be touched by the Lord and worship in the Lord. It's great to worship corporately, but it's so great to be on your own and just use music to worship him. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon, friends.